shifting due to the services tomorrow, all the things that's going on. And we are excited about what God is doing. So I'm excited about what God's doing. Hallelujah. When we really, really move into that place, the scripture that says, be in the world, but not of the world. Come out, be ye separate, saith God. We're here to work. We have to make a living. We have to participate, be a part of the things of the world. But being in the world is more than just being in the world in the flesh, but it's being in the world in the flesh, but the flesh is in the spirit. There's people everywhere hungry. You say, what do you mean about being in the flesh, but in the spirit? Well, this is flesh. Amen? Well, I am anyway. I'm sorry. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're in the flesh, then the Bible says the spirit will lead and guide us, not the flesh. Hallelujah. I like the sensitivity and when we know. That's what's fun, being in the flesh, because then you're living in that place with Him. People could see Him in you. Hallelujah. Somebody says, what's Brother Phillips sitting down there for? Well, I told him, I said, I felt strongly yesterday that the Lord wanted me to teach tonight. I didn't tell him that. I just said, well, you're not obligated to come. He said, well, I want to come. Here's some good teaching. I said, well, you better teach then so you can hear yourself teach. I'm kind of pestering on my friend. I'm honored they're here. We love them very much. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm going to try my best to not be lengthy tonight. I'm going to try to move quickly. So I want to do exactly what I feel the Lord wants us to hear tonight. It's about our calling. Look at your neighbor and tell them somebody, find somebody and say, do you know what your calling is? Hallelujah. Every one of you in here, and that's fun. It's all right to lighten this up tonight. I feel strong that that's all right to smile and lighten. But every one of you in here has a calling. Every one of us in this building tonight has a calling. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 4. We'll be reading 18 through 20. We're going there to where Jesus calls the first four disciples. It's on the overhead also. I forgot to send her notes, and so she's just going to be following, having fun, so it'll pop up eventually. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishers. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And if we can, while you're standing, I want you to jump over to Mark chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. Then we'll go to Luke chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. When he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Moving over to Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It won't be long tonight, so don't get weary in well doing. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. That's a pretty big catch. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want you just to think about that for a minute. They forsook all and followed him. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Revival, our calling, Christ's calling to us, is something that is very, very important in this last hour. We've heard this preached through the years. If you've been in the church any length at all, you know that God has called each of us to be soul winners. God has called each of us to be soul winners. We'll say that one more time, third time's charm. God has called each of us to be soul winners. I'm not here tonight to get on to anybody. I'm here to stir us up and let us realize that God is ready. God is waiting. God is anticipated on a place where revival can blow up. And as the preacher said last night, 500 or 600 people in one day could be filled with the Holy Ghost. I refuse to accept the thing that is called traditional apostolic church. We hear of those 50-soul revivals. We hear of 100-soul revivals. But I don't know in my time in the American countries if I ever heard of a day other than Pentecost where there was 3,000 that was gathered into the church. And then in location, it's 5,000. Some would say, well, Brother McLean, that's not for us. It is for us. It is for us. But how bad do you want that? How hungry are we for what God wants to do? The introduction of the night, Christ calls men to follow him. He called prepared men and women. Tonight I'm looking at people that have taken out of your schedule in the change of schedule, and you're here on a Monday night instead of what's normal. It lets me know there's dedication, there's people that have a calling, that have a preparedness in their mind and in their spirit, but there's an awareness. He calls men and women into service to be fishers of men. There is no excluding, there is no excuses why each of us cannot be soul winners. I said, there is no excuses. We have to look in the mirror and say, I just don't do it. Well, praise the Lord. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you taught a Bible study this year? How many of you completed a Bible study and saw the works of God performed from your lips and your ability to take the word and to teach it? I know it's quiet tonight. That's good, because I'm just talking. But I want to stir us up. There is no excuse, because God gives us talents and abilities, and it's up to us to use those abilities. Have you ever been fishing? Anybody ever been fishing in here? You can raise your hand. Surely somebody has. The one person I know has been a fisherman crazy. He didn't raise his hand. Father, help him tonight. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he's bald-headed. Hallelujah. He's running short on the loan business. Have you ever been fishing and you go to that special place where you know there's fish and you bait the hook, you put it in the water, but there's nothing there? Hello? I don't know about you, but it's very boring to sit on water baking in the sunshine or on a creek bank and just sitting there looking at the water and getting eat up by mosquitoes and not catching a fish. I don't know, maybe some of you like that, but I don't really care to. But when it's fun, it's when you get a hold of something and you just can't hold on. You just kind of, it takes you around the boat. And you. I run over Brother Bobby one day trying to hold on to Big Boy. Hello? Using an analogy right now to start off with tonight, because I want us to open our eyes, church. Every individual, God has given you the tools. If you've got hands, raise them up, look at them. Does your fingers work? Does your lips open? Can you say hallelujah? Then you've got what it takes to become a fisher of men or women. The greatest thing about being a fisherman is when you get something on the hook and you bring it in and you were able to put it inside of that box thing that's got water moving in there. What do you call that thing, Brother Bobby? Yeah, whatever it is. And you just look in there again and see that thing in there swimming and still alive and it's well. I really believe tonight that God is wanting us to understand that there's something as simple as baiting the hook and putting it in the water. It's as simple as putting yourself in position to win somebody. Let me tell you how hungry people are. You walk by not one or two every day that is starving. They're starving. They've been to places where they've tasted stuff that's the bait, but it's not what they're looking for. They've participated in places, but it wasn't what they wanted. I enjoy going with Brother Bobby and just watching and listening to all the stuff and smelling that stuff that they call bait. Anyway. Sometimes you got to put some stinky stuff in the water to get something on the hook. Let me tell you something. If you haven't won anybody and you say, well, Pastor, I've been talking to people. I've been trying to win somebody. Then we got to look at why we haven't won somebody. We've got to put everything that we've been using on the table and say, God, would you show me what I need to do to make adjustments? Christ's interest in men, Jesus' concern, contrasting with the Jewish formalism. Jewish leaders, their religious leaders, stressed legalism. It stressed formal things. It wanted to prove that there's ways you have to do it, otherwise it don't work. The law was made more important than mankind was made. What do you mean, Brother McClain? There was things that they wanted to impress and to press up on people in the Jewish culture. But life within itself was not as important as a soul. Can I put it sideways that way? It was more about legalism. It's about knowledge and it's about having the brains. But let me tell you something, church. You can have one God till it's running out your ears. You can pray every day until you're just prayed up full. But if you can't talk to somebody about the love of Jesus Christ, we're caught up in legalism and justifying who we are and not who God called us to be. God called us to be fishers. He called us to be soul winners. The legalistic approach to religion lacked love. It lacks sympathy. It was milk of human kindness. There's something called humanity that God desires. That's why he created it. Just a very short version of this. You don't have to pull it up. But in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, there's a story there. Jesus stresses humanity. And just to quote in a cliche of that word, that scripture, I was hungered. And you gave me meat. There are people that we walk by daily, we're friends with, we've known for years, but they've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've never experienced who he really is. Hello? We left church last night, and I'm telling a story, not in glorifying myself as glorifying God. Completely. I've probably never experienced the anointing of God as I did at the restaurant with Brother and Sister Phillips. I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but it was a simple fact that the waitress was obviously torn by living in this world, so caught up in life, looking for happiness. We got ready to leave, and I don't remember who was at the table. Sister Phillips, you remember? I know you were sitting there. I don't know who else. I don't think anybody else was there. Somebody was there. But anyway, Brother Phillips had to, he had ate too much and drank too much tea, and I'm just picking on him. But the Lord, when she brought me the check and my hand touched hers, it was like there was a spirit of connection. And I felt something crying out. Before she could draw her hand back, I grabbed her hand. She looked at me. Simple word was, God loves you. She looked at me. Facial expressions was in shock. Such Phillips, if I didn't see it correctly, but immediately there was something that started talking to me. Tears come to her eyes. And the Lord impressed that I needed to tell her that what you've been looking for is not in where you've been. It's in him. She put her little booklet that you write the order down on, and she covered her face with it. And she said, I'm going to cry. And she took off running. I said, oh, Lord, help me. I said something wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. It wasn't wrong. She didn't know what to do with what she was feeling. So, Brother McLean, you're kind of taking that out of context. No, I'm not. I walked to the counter to pay for the bill. They're all standing back, and the manager's standing. She said, are you a preacher? I said, I think so. Trying to be careful, sensitive, letting the Holy Ghost move. And it wasn't about 30 seconds of just talking, and there was five women standing behind the manager. Where's the church? What is it? What do I feel? That's why she was crying. She's back there. And the Holy Ghost began to speak very clearly. And it was a two-way ministry. There was a spirit crying out, I need him. I want him. I don't know him, but you do. There's a difference within us, church, but we've got to be willing to understand we can't live in our same box that we've lived in. We've got to move outside and understand you can't give something you don't have. Hello? We can't give something we don't have. Well, Brother McLean, I'm teaching Bible studies, but are you really in the flow of what God wants you to do? Is it legalism in a sense that it's got to be by the book and only by the book? Or can we back up and understand that we've got to flow with the need at the hand? Sometimes we get sidetracked in our own agenda and not God's agenda. That's where the church is going to transform the city, is when we move outside of where we're comfortable and who we are and remember who he is. And it's about the ministry of the church. It's not about Brother Phillips' ministry, as I said, not belittling the man of God, but it's about you. Who are you? A few seconds of walking away and realizing that God showed me personally in hand that there's something about us as individuals that we've got what the world wants. Hello? I told Brother Phillips before church, just a few seconds, we talked for a minute or so, and I said, there's a problem when the church tries to legalize and begin to judge. We can't judge anybody. We don't defend the Word of God. Hello? I don't believe in debating the book. I'll say that one more time. I don't believe in debating the book, because it goes back off of the basis of legalism. The Spirit will lead and guide you. The Spirit's going to lead and guide, Pastor. And I'm going to do my best to be the leader for the church, because we've got to be soul winners. Jesus stressed humanity. It was so strong. He put the focus on humanity. I was hungered and you gave me meat. If you go back and read that story in Matthew 25, you see there where he splits two. One was a spiritual, one was a flesh. One was legalism, one was Christ. The parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Jesus came to offer men the abundant life, John chapter 10 and 10. He stressed humanity. Christ calls men through the Great Commission. If you'll pull up Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Christ sends men and women into this world. What's it for? What is our purpose? Jesus came. Man, I think I got a light here. Is it on there? Hey, it's there, right there. Wow, it works. Praise God. I'm using a measuring stick, but it's got a laser on it. That's what I needed. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. You see that? We'll read it out there. I'm going to put it on some of your head. Read the next scripture. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Boy, we look at this and we say, oh, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's the name? Thank you. Verse 20. Just looking to see if y'all are still here. Boy, it's quiet. Teaching them to observe all things whosoever hath commanded ye, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That means he's with me no matter what. That means if I get up in the morning, I fill up with Holy Ghost power. I go to work and my boss is really having a good day. Praise God. He's with me. If I go home, my wife's having a good day. Praise God. He's with me. Come to church on Monday night, and pastor's really getting on to us about soul winning. Praise God, he's with me. Number one, he said, go. Hello? He said, go. He didn't say set. He didn't say wait. We got to go and we've got to teach. We got to preach. We got to talk. We got to tell somebody. And then he said, baptizing, teaching them to observe all things. There is a revelation that God wants the church. We have complicated. We have become insecure because we do not pray and study and work our salvation out on our own. It's time the church stands up. Get a Holy Ghost boldness. We've got to have people coming to church. The people that are excited living for God is the people that's putting something in the water. And they're catching somebody. They're trying. Jesus challenged, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me in John 12. The early Christians earnestly believed this and went everywhere preaching the gospel. Did you hear what I just said, church? They believed that and they went everywhere talking about God. They went everywhere talking about the things of God. I'm going to ask you, how many of you went to work today? Anybody? Man, y'all got good jobs. Y'all just sat there with hands down tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you took time at work to just really walk by somebody and feel out if they really was looking? Can I give you a little insight? Anybody have somebody had a real positive attitude today? Praise the Lord. Real positive, strong, powerful. Being obnoxious, really, what I'm saying, you know. Did anybody have a real good day today, Monday? Yeah, thank you. A couple of them. Anybody have a real good day where someone had a real bad attitude? Man, I love this response tonight. This is good stuff. You know it's right on the head when everybody's just staring at you, kind of grinning. Some are putting their head down. Now, some of you had a real good day today because there was people that was acting a little rough. Can I give you a little insight? Let me tell you why. Most of the time, the spirit world's trying to stop somebody. And when they're really bitter and they're angry and they're frustrated and they're acting like Jigabahotuses, we'll get some of you to laugh tonight, whether you like it or not. They got a real positive attitude. They're positively negative. The spirit world is afraid of those people. It tries to control their mind with their thinking and with the flesh, because it knows if it ever is introduced to the Spirit of God and it ever comes to an apostolic altar and it finds repentance and washed in the blood, they're going to become an atomic explosion in the church. Amen. But our flesh raises up a lot of times when somebody just says, well, blah, 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 blah. And if we don't go blah, 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 right back to them, we turn around and walk away with a chip on our shoulder and we're angry. Why? I'm not judging anybody, church. It's just flesh. It's called humanity. Spirit knows how to cause us to question, to worry, to get frustrated, get intoxicated by life within itself. Sister Sally said so-and-so. Bless God. We try to go into prayer so frustrated we can't be a fisherman because we don't have a fishing pole. We can't be a fisherman because we're not even on the boat. We're sitting in the middle of the living room griping. Whew. You heard the preacher last night. He said, Pastor's going to say something, going to get you a little upset. I'm just trying to stir us up, church. We've got a prophetic word that God wants everybody, everybody, to be a soul winner. About 100 people here tonight, probably more than that in there in the kids' class and all that. But just a small crowd tonight, so many having all kinds of things going on. I understand. I got texts all afternoon. If everybody in this building would agree that your mind's going to be made up, I don't care if you're 99 years old, I don't care if you're 120, I can still talk. I can still talk. I can still pray. Hello? I'm going to be a soul winner. Christ calls men today through the church. The power of this call does not depend upon physical things. What do you mean, Brother McClain? It's not the coolest place in town you got to go to have church. Not that little bitty small friendly church where everybody loves everybody. It's not that big church where it's got the best music in town. Thank God it's not the most eloquent pastor, preacher. But the power is in other things. The power is in the message that's delivered. Preaching a sound doctrine. Preaching the Word of God. And having the Spirit of the Holy Ghost inside that building. Hello? We're not looking for another message. We're not looking for another Bible. This is the Bible. What we're looking for is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I said the divine anointing of the Holy Ghost. Woo. You know, when you're tired, he's your strength. When you're weary, he'll pick you up. But you got to give him the authority. Say, God, I am your boat. When you're going to direct me, no matter what the storm is, how the wind's blowing, as long as you're the captain of this boat, I know I'm going in the right direction. But when Orland steps out and lets God move out of the boat, I'm going to shipwreck. I'm hurrying. I'm not going to be long. Place where we are, we'll tell you something, church. Listen to me tonight. Can I just be transparent with you? Last night I went home, and after we got through eating, the Holy Ghost moved. I went home and had a burden. I laid down on the floor and started praying. I started weeping for the city, started weeping for you, praying for individuals. I'm not saying this to be lifted up in any way, God forbid that. But after the Holy Ghost uses us, we got to make sure we're in humility. We're in humbleness. Where we stay broken. All we are is a voice that God flows through. It's that smooth sail that I lay in that floor for I don't know how long. It was a while, and had a great time of weeping and praying and just enjoying praying for every church in the country, the city, the world, and preachers and people and family and members and everybody. I was just, because I said, God, I got to go to a different place. That's enough. But I want it to be where it's not just one little small restaurant. It's when I go in the paint store. It's when I go to Home Depot. It don't matter where I'm at. I want the Holy Ghost to use me. There's people hungry. I had a great time in prayer. Man, it was wonderful. I think I probably said less, but I enjoyed having the presence of God there. I got in bed and I opened my iPad and began to read the Word of God, and enjoying listening to the Word, just talking to Him. I fell off to sleep, woke up, turned the light off. I guess it was close to 12:15. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, there was this beep, bump, beep, bump, beep, bump, beep, bump. I'm like, who in the world is playing that kind of music in the wee hours of the morning? I sat there a few minutes and it was gone. Well, thank the Lord. I hope I can go back to sleep. I slept just a little while longer, and all of a sudden, here it came. Bow. I don't remember. I get it mixed up because I don't want to tell a lie, but it was horrible. Then it was gone. I'm like, poor Tux, what be the people across the street or wherever they're at? Jesus, help them. God, forgive them. About 4 something in the morning, because I opened my phone up and looked at the clock. It sounded like the, what do you call the military, the horn? It sounded like that. And I sat up in bed, I'm like, what in the world? Got the military walking down the restaurant, you know, the neighborhood or something. It was hilarious. My dog was, my dog now, my wife's gone, it's my dog. He's in there, he's going crazy. Bless his heart. Then, poof, it's gone. Really? Who is doing this in the middle of the night at 2, 3 or 4, 4 or 5, whatever time? I don't know what time it was. I was so confused. Next thing I know, I woke up and it's like 6:20 in the morning. I'm wiping my eyes and I was like, man, what a night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I rolled over and started talking to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I just want to thank you for that soul that's coming. I want to thank you for all those women, that manager, and those people that's going to come. I want to thank you for the... Started focusing on what he's going to do. Giving him praise. Just tell him I love him. I was tired. I'm still tired. I promise. You heard it. Here it comes again. My Lord. I get my clothes on and everything, and we'd after prayer, and I'd go in there in the kitchen. It's about 7:03, and I open the door, let the dog out. We have fun playing in the backyard, running around. Walk back in, and I got my bowl, and I put my milk in it, my oat milk. And got my cereal, and I'm walking back to the table to sit down. And all of a sudden, in the living room, meow! I about chunked that bowl of cereal. Scared me to death. I set it down and I said, what? Where? I don't have no music like that. What is this dumb thing? And it's that audio thing you tell it what to play. What is it called? Siri or Sirius or whatever. I don't know. Siri. That dumb thing was play its own little wheel, whatever it wanted to, and it was full power. Walked over and hit the power button, turned it off. Went back over and sat down at the table, and I was there about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden I hear something playing again. I walked over and said, Jesus, this is yours. You sucker. You little devil. He said, what's that got to do with the call of men? Because the spirit world wants to take and control our mind, cause confusion, to bring disunity, to change our attitude.
Well, I didn't get to sleep all night, man.
That means I'm doing something right. When he's got to come into my house. And try to take what God wants to you for good and destroy and make us weary and well. He said, don't be weary in well doing. I didn't buy that thing, my wife did. I talked to Sister McLean after she got out of work and I said, hey, when you come home, there's a little white thing, won't be in the corner no more. She said, what do you mean? I said, that little thing that goes boom, boom all through the night. What do you do with it? I said, I threw it away. I said, now if the spirit world wants to talk to me, it's going to have to talk with a voice because it's not going to talk with that thing. What's that got to do with tonight, Brother McLean? Let me tell you what it is. The spirit world is trying to cause us to get confused within our mind and get pressurized and allow the flesh to become frustrated and we don't have the power no more. You can't witness. You don't have enough Holy Ghost in you to tell somebody about me. Come on now. He wants to bring discord between the family and the husband and the wife, but so it becomes a dysfunctional family and a home and the environment of home. Our homes have got to be sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, so that we can open up our home and bring people into our homes to teach them the Word of God. Profound word of God becomes an illusion and it becomes a stumbling block for those who are looking for something. Hear what I'm telling you. It's very simple to show them the word of God in a parable form. Simplicity. But more than intoxicating them with so much word, It's intoxicating them with the Spirit of God so that the anointing of the Holy Ghost gives revelation. Christ calls through his individual members, every Christian should become a fisherman. Everyone. I made a statement with this because, and I put it in the notes in closing remarks here. Still got somewhere to go, but I'm almost done. The sport of fishing is in catching fish. Not in never catching fish. The winner that wins those tournaments when they go fishing is not the man who takes a bag of minnows back up there and just turns the minnows in. It's the one that's got the fish. Christian fishermen should be prepared, informed, knowledge. We should, as a church, use the right bait when we're teaching. We got to have love. We got to have kindness. We got to have the Holy Ghost that will help us show them the way. Anger's not the word. I made the statement a while ago about defending the Word of God. Arguing the Word of God. That's not what God desires. Every time Jesus gave us the example, he showed us how. I read this story. I made this comment to Brother Phillips in general, just talking about what I read. We can't catch fish with a hammer. You ever went fishing with a hammer? I don't think you'd ever catch one. The right tools is what you got to have. A mother complained. This is a story I copied. I didn't put it in the notes. A mother complained, even though she had brought her children to church every day, every service. She'd reared them in the church and taught them, tried. Please don't take offense to this. I'm just reading a story. Just listen. The kids grew up. They didn't remain faithful with God. They left the church, went down the old road of life. The comment was made by the parents. We don't understand. We brought them to church. They saw a son, and the son's remark was this: why should I or my siblings be interested in the church? Every Sunday morning at dinner, the hour my mother and father tore the minister apart and many of the members of the church apart. All that I as a child ever heard was criticism and everything connected with the church. They never mentioned anything good about anybody. We never had anybody at our home. It was always about personal agendas. I'm waiting to find the person who I can find that shows me but lives what they say. Fishermen and fisherwomen, if I could say it that way with keeping you on board, should go where the fish are. Don't wait for the fish to come to church. Hello? Don't wait till they come to church and then love them and try to keep them. We wonder why somebody don't come and stay. It's because they wasn't invited. When they come, they feel it, but they leave because they don't know why and what they feel. They don't understand. We got to begin in our small pool at our home. We've got to put the instruments together. Christ calls us to follow him and follow his example today. There's a scripture I want to take you to in closing. 2 Peter 1 and 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. I may go to a commentary and reading on in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I guess that was my time clock. I'm just playing, man. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. And they contain a most salutary direction when the child of God can prove his calling. He thereby fully proves at the same time his election. For it is an infallible truth of Scripture. From he predestined, should I say it that way, but in Romans 8 and 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Every newborn child of God in himself is a living witness of being called. I'm going to read it again. Every newborn child of God in himself or herself is a living witness of being called of God. There's power in our calling. If you've received the Holy Ghost, hear me tonight, church. If you've received the Holy Ghost, you're called. If we look at 8 and 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. But you go on down to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. We are called of God to be fishermen. It's the order of God. It's time for us to make up in our mind that I am not going to be the same. On 8-14-22, the bishop made this comment. The new beginning started. You remember that service? The new beginning started. Now, therefore, it's time for us to make an investment in becoming what God wants us to be. I know we've taught, there's people in this room tonight has taught many, many Bible studies. You've been in homes. You've invited people to your home. But now, God has opened the door. Where the city's ready to have such an influx of people. You hear Brother McLean, I'm telling you right now. There is such an influx of people waiting to come, but we've got to move outside the box of letting our mind control our spirit and letting the spirit control our mind. The will of God is that we do everything we can. The disciples proved it, but they had to leave everything to follow Jesus. Pastor's not up here preaching tonight. You got to quit your jobs and all. We're going to pull together and just eat together. No, I didn't say nothing like that. But there's got to be a balance sheet. How much time are we spending praying and talking to God? How much time are we witnessing to people? Reaching out to those and showing them that we love them. Sister Blagg, if you have those slides, would you put those on the overhead? This afternoon in prayer, I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. The last 10 years plus, Into His Marvelous Light Bible study, they're available in Spanish also. This Bible study takes about 45 minutes to an hour to teach. It's not very hard. It's very simple. It's very clean. The next one, the New Birth Experience, $2. It's available in Spanish also. We've had that available here at the church. Next. The Pattern, Brother Clack, it's available in Spanish. We've given those away. They've been back there on that table. I believe the last purchase we had, we bought, was 50. I believe that's correct. We bought 50. We've still got some of those left. Is that the last one? There's one more, right? Two more? guide for living, benefits, privileges, responsibilities of a Christian. This is another level that you can go to. It's very friendly, very easy to teach, self-explanatory. They're $2 each. We brought four of them. There's other Bible studies. There's Into His Marvelous Light, Search for Truth. There's on and on, multiple lesson Bible studies, 10 lessons, 12 lessons, 14 lessons, 16, 24. But in our time, in our age right now, we've got to give them, teach them, help them see the truth, the need to be baptized in Jesus' name, the need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gives the utterance, and get them in and begin to love on them. But when those are gone back there on that table, they'll never be free again. You say, Pastor, I pay my tithes. I should get free Bible studies. No. I put the tools out there, and I've given them, and I've given everyone the opportunity to use the tools. But they've sat in the toolbox, and they've not been used. If we're willing to reach out and fulfill your purpose, you're going to have to pay for it. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. The pastor's going to buy my own. Let me tell you why. Because when I buy it, I'm not going to leave it sitting on a shelf at home. Because there's going to come a time, church, when we stand before God, and if we haven't exhausted ourselves and everything we can do, I hate to say it blunt and plain, but he's not going to say, well done. We've got to become involved in a complete totality of winning the lost, loving everyone. Loving everyone. I'm sorry. The power last night, that service last night, God wanted to do more. But there was a lot of questions and selfishness. I watched that man of God over. He was fighting. He was filing two phone bills trying to find it. We got to get connected. There's a spirit of disunity that we're in unity like we've never been, but there's a spirit fighting in the flesh every day, every service. Let's make up in our mind we're going to win somebody. Please. Make up in your mind you're going to win somebody. It's a new beginning. Amen? Now, come on now. Look at somebody and tell them it's a new beginning. Them excuses yesterday don't work no more. It's a new beginning. It's time to win somebody. I believe on Sunday we could have a massive revival of people filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How's it going to happen? It's when you make up your mind and you agree with your brother or your sister, I'm going to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo. Well, praise God. I'm looking forward to a great weekend, great reports. I will not be here Sunday. Praise God. Don't call me. I won't be here. I'm unplugging my phone on Wednesday afternoon. It's off. So if you call me, you'll know it's going to voicemail. Bishop told me I had to cut it off, so I'm going to. I'm telling the church. So we love all of you. And I'm looking for great reports, church. Pastor didn't mean this negative night. I mean it to stir us up because we got a calling. The prophetic word has been given from God. It's already there and it's available. If you do want Bible studies, we're fixing a paper. It will be there so you can order what you want. We're going to have them in inventory stock. Brother Gantz will have them upstairs. You'll place your order. It's simply when you pay for it, you get them. We don't give them to you without money. Amen? We're fixing to exhaust ourselves in this city in having revival, and God is fixing to move. He's already started. Amen? Tell somebody something positive tonight. God bless you. Don't forget all the announcements. Go in Jesus' name.